Okay, thank you very much. Okay, beginning momentarily, as soon as we get the sheets passed around. Two sheets per person. Okay. All right, nobody makes fun of my glasses. They're easier to get on and off this way.
Right.
What? Colonial. Okay, for those of you out there listening, my glasses are missing one of the, what is it called, temples?
What did you say to your wife?
What do you mean? About these?
No. They caused her to do
something. Oh, no. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right. So this is a piece that I really like about Hanukkah from Rav Hutner Bach and Yitzchak, but I think it's particularly nice for us to learn for Davka v'dis Chabura, because if anybody who learns Torah, that's the truth. Anybody who learns Torah in depth, anybody who's going to deal with sugyas where there's a lot of machlokas and a lot of different opinions and so on, I think that Rav Hutner develops a very, very nice idea over here and brings it out Davka from Hanukkah and helps appreciate the kind of learning that we do on a regular basis. So I thought this would be a good, like, intersection kind of thing between the sugyas we're doing until now and the non-Hanukkah sugyas that will be starting next week, but to get an appreciation for what we do, okay? Now, for those of you who never learned Pachad Yitzchak before, and I can't consider myself any kind of expert in Pachad Yitzchak, but these are numbered paragraphs that you have to kind of allow the pieces to come together. It's kind of like laying the groundwork of pieces of a puzzle that eventually come together in a very nice way and develop very nice ideas. So first we have to deal with each paragraph on its own merits, and then we might add a little bit to it, and then we have to appreciate it all together. Okay, there we go. And I apologize to everybody for the fact that I have a cold, which may make it very annoying to listen to me. I find it annoying to listen to myself, but it is what it is, okay? Amen. Thank you. Okay. Masechtas Shabbos, Maschelas B'dinei Hotzah. That first paragraph. Masechtas Shabbos begins with the Malach of Hotzah. Anybody who's over Masechtas Shabbos knows this. The first mission of Masechtas Shabbos deals with different Shiris of Shabbos, Shtayim Shem Arba, the Malach of Hotzah. Harishonim owned the B'tam HaDavar. The Rishonim, the focus on this, so what is the reason for this, that of all the options, of all the possible things Shabbos could begin with, it begins with Dafka with Hotzah. But Maral Pirish, the Maral explains, he said the Malachas Hotzah ain't no Hegas the Yom Tov. Malachas Hotzah does not apply on Yom Tov. Lachin Maschel Hatana be Malacha Hamichedas Shabbos. Therefore, the Tani begins with Malacha that's unique to Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry. Most of the other Malachos apply both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. But Hotzah is unique to Shabbos. Yom Tov does not have a Malacha Hotzah. So as far as Dvarav, Shalom Maral, the logic behind what the Maral is saying is Kikol Hagilui Hamuvak Shatochen Inyono Shakom Moed, that if you want to look for the most expressive aspect of a Yantif, what defines it, what its essence is, Kudav Kibimokam Amuchel Olavada, you have to look for that which is unique to it. Right? Look at what's unique to it. If you want to talk about what Pesach is about, don't talk about the fact that Pesach you can't do Malacha. Right? Because on Yantif and Pesach, Yantif Malacha. That's true for every Yantif. You have to, you're more likely to talk about the Matzah on Pesach, right? You talk about something that's unique to it. So, when it comes to Chanukah, Echad HaMakovos HaMichadim Ach V'Rak L'Mod Chanukah, there are several areas that need to Chanukah. You can talk about Menorah, for example, but he says, no, not only that. One of the areas that are unique Daf to Chanukah, who hayuso nimtza b'sof kol seidu kfiyas mani moed edoros, is the fact that it finds itself at the end of the kfiyas mani moed edoros, at the end of the process of the building of the Jewish calendar, all the Yom Tovim of all generations. Right? In other words, that the calendar is something that built up in terms of Nisim and in terms of Yom Tovim. First we have what the Torah gives us. Then you have Purim, which was added between the first base of Midrash and the second base of Mikdash, shortly before the second base of Mikdash. And then the final brick to the Jewish calendar, to the rhythm of Jewish life, was Chanukah. Chanukah is added Chanukah, the Gemara wants to talk about the last Nisan, the first is Purim, then the Gemara says, what about Chanukah? So the Gemara says, well, we're just referring to the Nisan that became part of Tanakh. But the true last Nisan and last Yantiv is Chanukah. Hamuvan apnimish al uvdazo, who, and the deeper understanding of this is kim kviyas moed achanukah, the establishment of the yantiv of Chanukah, nigmaru kol asharoshim shasid zman ledoros ad achos yamin. All of the sharoshim, all of the through our history of four generations until achos yamin, that was with Chanukah. The completion was Chanukah. Oz egmor b'shir mizmor Chanukah tamas be'ech, as we say in Moshe Torah. Oz egmor b'shir. Now let's try to translate those words, and then we'll see what he does with them. Oz egmor, then I will complete b'shir mizmor with the song. HaChanukah HaMizbeach, the dedication of the Mizbeach. Now, Oz is first of Mashiach. So Chanukah HaMizbeach shall Oz. The Chanukah HaMizbeach of then, when Mashiach comes, Teyagmar, Shechanukah HaMizbeach Chashmonai will complete what the Chashmonai began. Cholomar, meaning to say, Ad Tviyas Mor HaChanukah, till Chanukah was established. And here's where he's getting to the point he wants to make in this paragraph. Until the establishment of Chanukah, Hayachaser Oud Amud Echad. One pillar was missing. Asher Olav Yamod Hagesher, on which the bridge will stand. What bridge? Hamovil Achos Yam that leads to Achos Yam to Mashiach. And we all know what happens to a bridge that is missing one pillar, which is a critical pillar. So a pillar is missing. Achim Kvias, however, Mekvias Moed Achanukah. With the establishment of Chanukah, the Choni HaMesila Litzot Aleha, the Mesila, the pathway, the road is now set, Litzot Aleha, to be walked on, An HaGemar Shal Chanukah Sasida, till the final Chanukah of Mashiach. Hashet Tigmar B'Shim Rizmor, that will be completed with great song. But Vadish Atoch HaNevarim, Peveh HaZvar, certainly this requires explanation. El Shemahalach HaZvar, who can tell Kaman, but we will explain it in a further paragraph. So right now he established, this paragraph to summarize, really makes two points. One point is the Chanukah was the last Yantif. That one of the unique things about Chanukah is that it's the last Yantif. And we have to understand, last is not just, and this is what he's trying to tell us, it's not just incidental. Last means nothing was needed afterwards. Last means that this is what makes the bridge, as he mentions, the roadway secure, so that now we can get through what we need to get through.
Is it actually the last one? Because I know they have other holidays that get canceled
later. Yeah, in terms of what you're right, that Megillas Tainus mentions other things, and I don't know if Chanukah was last as far as that's concerned, but in terms of what would be Ludoros, Chanukah was the last. You know, there were other things that were maybe for Shoal were kept, but then ultimately were discarded, and Chanukah was kept Ludoros. And the second thing is that besides Chanukah being unique, is that this idea of it being the last is an indicator that somehow this is what's going to make it possible for us to go through history up until Mashiach. Okay, so here we go. Say the Rashi Buddha, paragraph days. Ari, do you have a copy? Yeah, okay, good. Say the Rashi Buddha, Shinistab Yisrael, Arba Malchios. The order of the Shibudim, of the subjugations that clients will experience. In Yonam Avur b'Nevuah Sushad Daniel, they already told us in the Nevuah of Daniel, the Fidivre Chachamim Sherosham, the Fidivre Chachamim Sherosham Noot Samasiv Bereishis. But Chazal tell us that they already alluded to in Bereishis, in the beginning of Bereishis, and there's a very famous medrash that says, Tov Avochu Shechutahom, Akodmim Lurach Olakim, Kepasuk Ashina Samasiv Bereishis. The four descriptions of the unfinished nature of the world and the chaos that existed before the world was developed by Hashem was Ato Vo Choshech and Tahom, and those four are, according to the Medrash, a reference to Ha'arba Machios, the four powers, as a Mechusa Kedemus Samelcha Mashiach, who precede the coming of Mashiach. And so the Medrash says Tohu Zem Bavel is reference to Bavel, Vohu Zem Madai, Choshech, and the Gemara brings Sukim to the Medrash brings Sukkim to support the idea that Toh is appropriate for Vavel and Vo is appropriate for Madai for Persian Medea. That's a Purim story. Echosech is the third one, is Yavin. The Yavin is Greece. Shechshichanim sheyisob egzeresea who darkened the eyes of Yisrael with the decrees. And the home is the fourth one, the Edom. That's what we find ourselves in today. So those are the four. And after that, you have Ruach Elokim, Ruach Chavos Apanei Amayim, the Spirit of Hashem hovering above the water. That's Melech HaMashiach. That's what the Medrash says. All right? And I always say, every time I mention this, that it's always instructive to think about the fact that we look at, and maybe mention this here, that we look at Yavan as Choshech, but the rest of the world looks at Yavan as Greece is a very enlightened period. But for us, it's Choshech. It's Choshech because, as I mentioned, I think it's Shalshinish, name Yisrael, because there is now, they darkened the eyes, they saw the decrees, they said we're not special, we don't have a special relationship with Hashem, and so on. Okay, so now he gets nuance. So with Rav Hunter, we got to really, really be focused and get the nuances. There's something I say that you don't understand, by all means, please speak up. Malchus shel Edom, Yishibudim shel Yisrael behoga. The Malchus of Edom is our current olos, even though it's not Rome per se, but Rome gave way to the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire gave way to the West, and therefore we're considered to be under Edom now, right? I really apologize for these periodic interruptions. Okay. Edom is the current goal. And that, therefore, that's the present. Shalosh Machis HaKodmos, the three previous powers, Heim Shibudu Shayisrael B'Avar, are the powers that held sway of the Jewish people in the past. Bavel, the Babylonians, the Persian Medeans, they're the Greeks. In Banu Lachkor B'Shibud Edom Shalonu, if we seek to examine the Shibud Shalom Shalonu, our current Gullus experience, the current one of Edom, and we seek to search it to look for what? Achrei Inyan Ashes Chalasso Hi B'Tzoras Hashibud Shalom Shamachis Nekodu. And we try to find something in Edom that has its roots in the earlier Malchios, in the earlier Golios, and continues until today. You won't find that for the first two, you'll only find it in Yavan. And I'll explain why in a minute. Meaning to say, Bavel was a bad experience, but it was over. We were redeemed from Bavel, we came back to Israel eventually. Same is true for Paras Madai, Persian Medea. It was a terrible experience. We almost got wiped out under this Purim story. But we were saved. And that's it. We closed the books on that. But Yavan, even though we were saved from Yavan, Hanukkah, it would seem that we didn't close the books on it completely. That some of Yavan still remained with us to this day. How so? We have a Torah. Sorry? Yeah, but it's not necessarily all bad. I mean, sometimes can be a good thing, you know, if we use it the right way. We have a Mesorah. Kiyosi ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. They were the first of the Zukas, if I'm not mistaken, one of the first. Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. Ashahoy, they made Pumas Leivanim, who lived during the struggle with Yavan. They were the first ones to have a machlokis in the Sanhedrin. Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan was the first machlokis. And that's a remarkable thing to be able to have, to be able to pinpoint the first machlokis. The very first machlokis, Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, regarding Din Smicha B'Yantos. Behind it, that is to say, so now what does that mean that it's machlokis? Why would we associate, why would that happen that Dafka and Yavni have machlokis? Because what does Yavni want to do? Right? It says very clearly in the Halanisa, Mashkichim Torah Secha. They outlawed the learning of Torah. they outgrow the learning of Torah, and by outgrowing the learning of Torah, they inject the static into the Masorah. It was difficult to maintain. Up until then, the Masorah is pristine. Generation to generation. That full clarity and everything. Then along came Yavan and stops learning, or the learning had to go underground, and it had to go into cages, had to go who knows where, in order to be able to continue learning Torah. This is static developed, and a machlokus was born. I'm sorry? What? Not that I'm aware of.
How
many years after Sinai did this occur? Can someone help me out with this? This happened. Sinai happened about 3,300 years ago, and this took place about 2,500 years ago, right? No, not that. About 2,200 years ago. During Yavan. So the Chanukah story took place about 2,200 years ago. So and that was about 1,100 years after Avdi Yisraim, and this was not Alexander the Great. It was already a couple of generations after. So that works out.
Shimon
at
30,
was also the end of the
period.
If you look at Perkei Avos, yeah, Ashkenaz Hagdola, Shimon at Tzadik, and then a Tignes Hatzochum. And was Yosef 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 Yechana next?
I'm trying to tell the difference of
Okay, so let's see where he goes with this. Haina, that is to say, Sha'idei Hechshicha Yavan, it's the name Shal Yisrael B'Gzeresbel, by darkening the eyes of Klai's for the decrees, She'gazro al Hashkicha Torasecha, to make us forget the Torah. Now look how he plays with the word Hashicha Shicha. Haria Hashicha, the darkness of Yavan, which was the shikha, the forgetting of Torah, zug garmeli de machlokus to rishon of Sanhedrin and Yoshim Belishchas Hagatis. This led to the first machlokus in the Sanhedrin. But often in a way that resulted that kiribu hadeos v'chiluki hashidas of machantas of Torah, ad yemenu eila, that the many different opinions and positions we have in what he calls machantas of Torah. It's a phrase we should know, machantas of Torah. To meet a chumim, argue with each other, that's a good Muhammad. It's Muhammad Shator, it's a good war. Okay? But the many pities that we have till today, Holochub and Nimshach, Bekav Yashar, can be traced with a direct line, Mechashecha, Mechashecha Nimshach Yisrael, with the darkening of the eyes of Yisrael, Idei Hashkachas Torah, Shagzeris Yavan, by stamping out the Torah, the attempt to stamp out Torah during Yavan. Bechol Kihai Gavna, Asuyas, and therefore, if you look at things this way, it would appear to the skira chitzonis. Skira chitzonis is at first glance. At first glance, or chitzir chitzonis, a superficial glance, would indicate that Litvos is ribu hadeyos is a chluki hashitos. To label the many opinions and arguments that we have kishiyur begulas yavan as an imperfection in the gula of yavan. Is an imperfection. Sharim kol ha-yeshua v'ha-purka shel nitzachon ha-chashmonayim. And with all of the yeshua, the salvation and the redemption of the victory of the chashmonayim, adayim skagelas hi-itanu osa ha-tzara. We still have that tzara. Asher nol da'idei ha-pulish ha-ivana that was born in the struggle of Yavan. So this is what he meant before when he said, if you look to our present golos and to find something seemingly negative, and I know some of us are thinking about the positive spin on this. We'll get there. But right now, the fact that we don't have clarity. We don't have clarity in our learning. We have different opinions. Right? Would anybody care to guess how many arguments there are in Shas? Okay? Neither would I. And then you want to add to that the machlokis that we have in the Rishonim. And then he adds a machlokas nachronim, machlokas aposkim. Up until this day, as a matter of fact, it's much easier for us to try to find, the, I mean, much in terms of the number, the, how high a number we need, but much easier for us to try to put a number on how many things we don't argue about, right? Because the fact is that it's just about everything we have, there's a machlokas about. What? Okay, so we'll get to that. So the fact is, though, he says that the history tells us that all of this lack of clarity, quote-unquote, that we have, these variety of opinions of 2, 3, 4, 5 opinions in every issue can be traced back, b'kav ha-yashar, straight line, straight back to Yavan. And this is a result of the hashkichim teresach of Yavan. It's a direct result of Yavan's attempt to wipe out our learning. And the fact that they made learning so difficult, that's what brought about machlokas. And therefore, it's a shiur. It's a shiur means not shiur like shin yud ein vav resh, shiur shin yud vav resh, but something left over, some work that would have still needed to be done to fully redeem us from Yavan that was never done. That we still suffer from Yavan. Here we are in Edom, and we're still suffering Yavan. We're not suffering from Bavel. We're not suffering from Madai, but we are suffering from Yavan for the damage that Yavan did to the integrity of the Masorah. Amnam, however, mituch devreim shachachamim, and the words of chachamim, lemeidim on a tfisa yosem amika, we will find a deeper grasp, the gubashal inyan of this matter, kemoshi is ba'alafaninu, as we will see. Pa'amim, there are times, you have a concept, that there are times to be tulash at Torah zeu kiyuma, that the bittul of Torah, the disruption of Torah, is the way Torah is sustained. Shenemer ashishibarta, yashko chacha shishibarta. But Moshe is told to carve out a second set of lukos by Hashkadosh Baruch Hu, to bring up to Har Sinai for the second lukos. He says, "Salcha shein lukos kavishonim asher shibarta." You should carve out 2 more lukos like the first ones, asher shibarta, that you broke. And the words asher shibarta are seemingly extra. Obviously, we all know what happened to the lukos. We know that they broke. So Chazal tell us, asher shibarta, Hashem is telling him, yashika koach shibarta. He's giving Moshe yashikoach for breaking the lukos. Chazal tell us there were, maybe someone can help me out of it, I don't know if it's 2 or 3 things. There's 3 things, I can't remember the 3rd thing, but there are 2 things at least, that Moshe did on his own, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking him afterwards. Hashem afterwards, Moshe took the initiative, and Hashem afterwards expressed his approval. One of them was when he postponed Matan Torah by a day. And how do we know that Hashem agreed to that? Because Hashem didn't give the Torah until the next day. And the second one is the smashing of the Luchos. For the words Asher Shibarta, that Hashem gives Moshe Yeshikoch, thank you. Thank you for breaking the luchos, right? Now, so Rav Hunder associates with the idea of Bitula Zeukiyuma, that apparently the breaking of the luchos is necessary and brought about something that sustained Torah. And then sometimes you find that disrupting Torah is the way Torah is sustained. Matis Viris HaLuchos, Himasa shel kiyum Torah aydei bitula. The breaking of the luchos is an act of kiyum Torah, preserving Torah through disrupting it. And how so? For Arba Chacham, Chazal tell us, Shamale nishtabra haluchos, lo haitu Torah mishtakechos miYisrael. The Gemara in Erevin says, had Moshe not smashed the luchos, then Torah would have never been forgotten by Klal Yisrael. We would have never forgotten any Torah. Right? So it's really, it's like the transitivity postulate, A equals B, B equals C, right? So if Hashem thanks Moshe for the breaking of the luchos, and the breaking of the luchos equals the forgetting of Torah, it follows that Hashem is telling Moshe, thank you for introducing the forgetting of Torah into Klal Yisrael's history. Right? We don't even know if Moshe knew what he was doing, but this is what Chazal tell us. The breaking of the luchos brought about the possibility to forget Torah, and Hashem is thanking Moshe for making this reality possible for clients not to forget Torah. We're not, right? Wouldn't it be nice if you would never forget anything we learned, right? So let's see. We'd have a lot less to learn. Okay, very, very good. All right? Okay. Nimtza Eifo, it follows, Kisviras HaLuchos, he brought Gamishim HaShechas HaTorah. Breaking the Luchos is also the idea of forgetting Torah. We learn from this chiddush nifla, an unbelievable chiddush. Ki eshalal le Torah shetisrabe yidei shechas haTorah. Torah can thrive through forgetting Torah. Ad ki ba'open zeh yitochel lekabi yashikoach, to the point where it's possible to receive yashikoach avur hashkachas haTorah for bringing about forgetting of Torah. Right, and I'll explain this in a minute. That Torah thrives dafka to forgetting. By the way, don't get any ideas. Rav Hunter is not encouraging us to forget what we learned. All right, don't worry, you'll forget without his encouragement. But he's saying that somehow the forgetting of Torah is something that can bring about the thriving of Torah. And I'll just assert over here. There's a beautiful drush, which I've mentioned over the years. A drush from the Beis Halevi, massive drush from the Beis Halevi. Regarding these midrashim, where he gives a very, I guess you have to say a pidrush, but he gives a very novel explanation for why we would not have forgotten Torah. Why would we not have forgotten Torah? Because he says that, the Medrash says that when Moshe was on Har Sinai, he spent 40 days writing the Torah, right? And for 40 days learning Torah, and he learned everything. The questions that students will ask the Rebbe, he learned it all, and he wanted to write it all down. And Hashem says, he can't write it down. He can't write it down because the guy will take the Torah and translate it and claim it as their own. And they bring it's pasuk echdo la rubid teres and kamezar nechshavu. Klai will become like strangers then. There'll be nothing unique. There's no Klai will lose his identity, and therefore they have to have a Torah Shabbal Peh. They'll remain uniquely in the domain of Klai Yisrael. So says the Beis Halevi that this is all based on the pasuk. The pasuk says ki al pi advarim eila karati itcha birshvet Yisrael. That it's through these dvarim, which are dvarim Shabbal Peh, the oral Torah, that the bris of Klai Yisrael, that makes Klai Yisrael have a special relation with Hashem, will be to the Dvarim Shabbal Peh. So it says the Beis Halevi, that pasuk is by the second Luchos, not by the first Luchos. He says, why? Because of the first Luchos, Chazal tell us that if not for the Torah being smashed, Klai Yisrael would never forget Torah. Chazal also tell us, if not for the Luchos being smashed, if Malal Ustab HaLuchos, Lahaisa Uma, Velashon Shola be Israel. No nation would have held power over the Jewish people. So he says, you got to put the math together. He says, if the reason why there's a Torah Shabbat Peh is to give us identity in Golos, right? And we would not have gone into Golos if the Luchos never been smashed. It's as follows, the first Luchos, there was no Torah Shabbat Peh. In the first Luchos, therefore, he wants to say everything was written down. Hold on. He wants to say in the first Luchos, everything was written down. The infinite Torah was there on the Luchos. Torah should be Sav, Torah should be, everything's on the Luchos. Because Klai Yisrael wasn't supposed to go to Golos here. There's no need for a Torah Shabbal Peh. He says, that's Shat in the Medrash. The Medrash says that as Moshe was coming down from Har Sinai, like we say, we read the Pasuk, Moshe smashed the Luchos. The Medrash says it a little bit differently. The Medrash says, Moshe is coming down from Sinai, the osios of the Torah, the letter of the Torah, flew off the Luchos. And the Luchos became too heavy to hold, and they fell down. Moshe dropped them, and they broke. Says the Beis Halevi, what happened was, Moshe is coming down with the Luchos, and Klai Yisrael is doing the ego. If not for the ego, they'd never gone into Golos. But now they're going to go into Golos. Right? If not for the Egel, they would never go into Golos. Now they're going to go into Golos. If they're going to go into Golos, what do they need? They need a Torah Shabbat Peh. And therefore, the letters that flew off the Luchos were the letters of Torah Shabbat Peh that couldn't be given the Ksav. And they went back to Shemai. They weren't given the Ksav, and they weren't given Baal Peh. Moshe was left holding a Torah Shabbat Ksav without a Torah Shabbat Peh. That's too heavy. It's impossible to hold that. And it fell down and broke. He had to go back up and spent another 40 days up there. And during those 40 days, he learned all of Torah Shabbat, and it became part of him. The Medrash says that at the end, Moshe couldn't remember, at the end, Hevir Kul Masal Rosho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed the quill over his head. There was a little bit of ink left in the quill, the Medrash says. And Hashem passed it over his head. What was that little bit of ink left in the quill? That was the ink for Torah Shabbat Peh. But instead of being written in the Luchos, it was written in Moshe's head. And that's why Moshe's Karan Arpunav. That's why his face radiated when he came down, because he was the walking Torah Shabbat Peh, which is all of us, by the way. Not the same degree as Moshe. Because Torah Shabbat only exists in the hearts of Klal Yisrael. So he says that so Mael it follows, the Torah would not have been forgotten. Why would it have been forgotten? Because you would have had it there. You would have had it there all written in, according to Beis Halevi, all written down. You would have had the whole Torah Shabbat written down. It's not possible to forget. It's all there, right? And be that as it may, the breaking of the Luchos made it possible to forget Torah. Hashem gave Moshe a Shekor for that, and apparently there's something positive in that. And what is there? What's possible? Says Rav Hunder, Puk Chazi means go out and look at what Mashamar Chachamim, Chazal tell us. Ki shlosh meos halachos istachu bimei avilu shel Moshe. That during the time of mourning for Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter, and Klai was in mourning, 300 halachos were forgotten. Right? But the Chazir Masniel Bekenaz Bepapula, Asniel Bekenaz was able to retrieve them, to just rediscover them, though Hapulo, through his discussions, through his eon, through his learning, he was able to recapture those 300 lost halachas. By Divrei Torah Halalu, those hours of Torah, those words of Torah, shall people have zaras halachos, the discussions that brought back those halachos, heber Divrei Torah, shenisrabai neshichas the Torah. That's the Torah that we've never had. If not for Shikhas the Torah. The forgetting of Torah brought about more learning, brought about more discussion. V'lo od, all right, so we can already see, just from that there's a kind of learning, or an amount of learning, the effort and the hours of learning that only came about as a result of forgetting. And therefore Torah grew from that. V'lo, and not only that, as Shekol in the Machlok is Bahalacha, in elements of Shikhas the Torah. The whole concept of Machlokas is only possible with Shikha. If you have complete clarity, there's no Machlokas. Va'afa became nevertheless, that's what Josh just whispered to my ear before. Kachar b'chachamim, Chazal tell us, Afa pi, shalolu b'tar and valolu b'tamid, even though one opinion says Torah, one opinion says Tami. Halolu posin, valolu makshirin, one opinion says pasul, one opinion says kosher, halal portion, halal mechayiv, one opinion says partim, one opinion says chayiv, and so on. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayiv. Both are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the nimtza, so what comes out is the kol hachiluke deos, the chilukei shitos, that all of the different opinions that we have is not a loss. Heim agdolas haTorah. They are the growth of Torah, v'hadarost, and the glorification of Torah. Had know those dafka b'kochas shishichas the Torah that are born dafka as a result of forgetting Torah. We have to understand this idea of elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim is a very, very powerful concept. And I would venture to say it's completely unique in the annals of Lahavdol, all of the other chachmos that exist in the world. It's only Shach the Torah. And everything else in the world, you can have, let's say, science. Conventional wisdom in the 18th century was this. But 19th century, science advanced, and throughout was 18th century. And who would want to learn 18th century science or medicine once you have 19th century, and the 20th century, and so on? Once something is rejected, it's rejected. Right? But when it comes to Torah, we have the idea of Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Now, why is that true? How can both sides be Divrei Elokim Chayim? The answer is because both sides are given in Har Sinai. Both sides are given in Har Sinai. I forget the number, but Chazal tells us that at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe a certain number of arguments in favor of each side of every issue. Each side of every issue. You know, you have to ask, and I think it's in the first Yisrael that talks about this, that if Hashem put Moshe everything, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Agadah, then all that's going to become part of the Besorah. All this, but it's not. It wasn't part of the Besorah. So the answer is that Hashem gave, again, I think it's in the first Yisrael that says this, that he brings the Lashon of the Gemara or the Medrash, I'm not sure, that Melamed Shehira Hashem LeMoshe, that Hashem showed Moshe all of Torah Shema Peh, but the Lashon is here, he showed it to him, but not that he gave it to him, he showed it to him and then he hid it. Where did he hide it? He hid it in every single generation and every single Jewish person's heart. There's some buried Torah waiting to be discovered. Right? So that's what that Torah is in. So Elav Elav Diril Kim Chaim says, all you've done with this machlokas is we've dusted off the sand that covered up this second opinion. Up until machlokas, up until Sichas Torah, you had the Psak Halacha that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe, and that was it. But then, with Sichas Torah, now we have two opinions. We have two opinions. And both opinions are Divrei Elohim Kim Chaim. We would not have had a second opinion if not for Sichas Torah. But by inserting ourselves in the process, we uncover that second opinion, which could very well be buried inside ourselves. That's where it's hidden. Each of us has a chiluk of Torah to discover. And each of us has a contribution to make to the Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh. So be that as it may, without Sichas Torah, you would not have had all those opinions, and all those opinions are like discovering buried treasure.
Are there any two books, as far as and the Psak Halacha?
Well, I think the Svaras bring about the Psak Halacha. So you have different opinions, different Svaras bring about different opinions. And each opinion is based on Svaras, so it's Torah.
Did you say that the Torah is bigger than
Halacha? Is bigger what?
Torah as a whole is bigger than Halacha.
Than practical Halacha. Absolutely. So when we want to know what should we do, at the end of the day, you have to, so what do I do? So there's a halachic process. And yachiv and rabim, halachic and rabim. There's, you know, the different ways of deciding what the halacha should be. Or achir rabim lahatos, you go according to the majority. There's ways to decide what we should do. But it's only a question of what we should do. But in terms of what should we learn, do we pay any less attention to Beis Shammai than we did to Beis Hillel? Now one iota of less attention. The Gemara will say, but my Kabbalah, you want to argue, why did Beis Shammai say what they say? Why did Beis Hillel say what they say? Why in the world will we, I think this would be difficult to explain to someone who does not have a Shachas in Torah, why in the world do you spend so much time in a rejected opinion? Why would you do that? Why would anybody do that? Only someone who's tasted the sweetness of Torah, right? And tasted the sweetness of putting yourself into machlokas and trying to understand the different opinions and why he says what and why he says, why he says this opinion, why he says that opinion, only such a person can understand what Limud HaTorah is all about. And that's how we'd have a hard time. We do have a hard time explaining this to other people. Why would anybody learn Yevamos today? Right? Or Zvachim? Right? It's not a gay right now. It's not a gay, you know? So the answer is, it's Torah. It's Torah Hashem, right? We're learning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? I don't know if I mentioned it here, mentioned it somewhere not that long ago, a beautiful idea from the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, Berachas Torah, Berachas Torah, we learn about Berachas Torah. Berachas Torah is extremely important, extremely important. So the Aruch HaShulchan asks that the words Berachat Hashem no sin HaTorah, right? Normally, first of all, he asked why they were concluding bracha there. Bracha Hashem no sin Torah. Usually, a concluding bracha is only at the end of a long bracha. And this is a short bracha. Why would you have a concluding bracha, bracha Hashem no sin Torah? But then he says, really, it's not a concluding bracha. He says, tremendous chiddush. It's not a concluding bracha. But he's a concluding bracha, chasima, always has to relate to what the bracha was about. But bracha Hashem knows that Torah is not what the bracha is about. How do I know it's not what the bracha is about? Because the bracha speaks about Shabbat Banu Mikalav and Nasan Lanu. Hashem gave us the Torah. But bracha Hashem knows that Torah is Hashem is giving us the Torah. So it's not the same thing. So he says, really, bracha Hashem knows that Torah is a different idea. The first bracha is the bracha that Hashem gave us Torah. And that's Gevaldik, right? Thank you on Har Sinai. Thank you for giving us the Torah. But notice that Torah is a whole new bracha. They tacked it on at the end, but it's not really chasiva. It's the ongoing process of the sinas of Torah, the discovery of Torah that comes from our learning. The uncovering of new Torah, the custom of learning, that's noticing that Torah, because Baruch continues to give us Torah. The Sinas of Torah is an ongoing process. That's a brand new idea. It's very different than Nasan. Nasan is Har Sinai. Nasan is what's happening. Baruch HaDashem HaMalami Torah Lami Yisrael. Right? Because Baruch is teaching Torah, is learning Torah with us as we learn. So that's what learning is. We sit here, and we Spanish, we learn, we're learning together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have this idea, this amazing idea of Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Paragraph Dalet. The Chiddush Od Yoser Gadol Yotzalani Mikan. There's even a bigger Chiddush. Ki Merubi Midas Havlatas Kochus Etorus Valpeh Hamizgal Machlokas Hadeyot. The Koach of Torus Valpeh that is revealed in Machlokas is greater Me'ar Shemakam Haskamas Hadeyot than that which would be indicated if everyone agrees. Why? Hello, behalf the Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Because included in this idea of Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, Kola Yisod, we have this idea, which we've been trying to explain, Das Tori, that the rejected opinion is really Das Torah as well. Emrak Nemrel, if you Gidre Hamasimat, very important caveat, as long as it was said according to the rules of the give and take of Torah Shalapah. That is, the Torah nimna al datim shachachmi Torah. The lashon of the Ramban that the Torah was given to be interpreted by the chachmi Torah, how they understand it. If in the next generation the rove paskin is like the rejected opinion, the kaveil chistan halacha leaves emes halacha changes. So let's understand it. This is very, very powerful concept, and has to be understood as Shin Chas Shavi Misses. He's telling us that in the way Torah Shapel works, halacha can change. Not Chas Shalom in the way the conservatives say it, that halacha can change, depending on whatever's in fashion or in vogue at a particular time, the halacha changes. Chas Shalom. But the halacha changes by the halacha really not changing. How so? Because the halacha is, everybody who learns and keeps halacha must have asked this question at one time or another. This is a machlokas. So good, I asked a shayla, whatever it is. How do I know I'm doing the right thing? How do I know that I'm doing the right thing? Right? And even if you're the Sanhedrin Paskin, right, based on majority, how do we know that the majority got it right? How do we know for sure the majority got it right? Maybe they got it wrong. And the majority was, a majority of one or two. Right? Almost the same amount said one way is the other way. It's swing vote with one or two votes. Right?
That's
a
system.
So it's more than that's a system. That's the halacha. Being that both sides are given a tzina, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do whatever the majority says. That's what Hashem says to do. And therefore, you're doing the right thing because you followed the halacha of Acharav Lahatos. Go according to the majority. So the next generation, the majority goes the opposite way. Then the halacha changes, but not because it changes, things remain the same. The halacha still you follow the majority. So what does it mean that the halacha, the Torah is given, what's the lashon of the man again? Al-datam shel chachmei Torah. Based on the way the chachmei Torah interpret the halacha, that's the halacha. We all know the famous Gemara Bava Tzia, the Torah lo b'shamayim hi. That the whole story over there with who was it with what? No. Rabbi Lezer Yeshua, not Rabbi Lezer. It was Rabbi Lezer. It says Rabbi Lezer then. That's Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer Yeshua, right? So the Basco finally says Malacha Mitzo Rabbi Yeshua Shalacha Kimosu B'Chamokim. The Basco says Halacha Zaykin. And they said, no, Torah Lava Shemayini. What does that mean? Where did I get the chutzpah to do that? But the answer is not a chutzpah. It took a lot of strength, but it's not a chutzpah. Because they said, by custom of Torah Secha, it says in your Torah, Acharav Lahatos. That's the halacha. The halacha is Acharav Lahatos. Now, you would never know, but you would never experience Acharav Lahatos without a machlokas. You can't have a vote unless it's a machlokas, right? So in a way, we fully the idea of Achram Lahatos is an immensely powerful concept, because it's telling us that Kadosh Baruch himself, that's what the Gemara tells over there in that story, that Kadosh Baruch himself submits to the Psak Halacha of the Sanhedrin. And you don't get to experience that or to realize what that means until it happens. As long as there's no machlokas, that's the halakha that Kadosh Baruch Hu told us. But when the first machlokas happened, what do we do now? What do we do now? We got static in the Masorah. Fear not. Acharav lahatos. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling clients, well, this is your chance. This is your chance to paskin the halakha. This is your chance to create the halakha. You decide what the halakha is, not me. You know, that's almost a theoretical concept, because you know, like a Beis that cannot overrule the previous Beis, like El Ken Gadol Men V'Chachum V'Minyan. Theoretically, that's possible. But so we know that Amram don't argue with Tanaim, that's an awareness of our limitations. We're not in a position. So it's like you argue with Einstein. You think it's E equals F cubed, not M squared. Okay, well, you know, nobody's going to pay attention to you. And nor should they. Nothing personal. Okay? Right? About that. Right? You got to know who you're dealing with. You have to know your place. All right? Benimsa, last four lines of paragraph. What? If they made a tuss, because he said it has to be a gidre halacha before. You have to stay within the framework of the guidelines of how to learn. So if they made a mistake, it doesn't mean if the mistake means that there was something flawed in their thinking, and the position they took was not lefi the gidre halacha. It wasn't according to the parameters that are given. Now, according to parameters, then it loses validity. That caveat always has to be followed. You can't say whatever you want. Last five lines. V'nimtza ki machlokusus ha-chachmi Torah begalas kochas ha-torah shal-peh. That the machlokus of chachmi Torah reveals much more than kochas ha-torah shal-peh. How be yours to mashashashki must have more than the agreement. V'chadash ha-torah inena open echad. The Machanta Shatorah, the argument, it's not just one way of learning Torah. El Shemachanta Shatorah, Yitzir Chayuvit, it's a positive creation, shall expansion, shall Erche Torah Chadashim, of new parameters of Torah, shall limit the Gmasim and Divit Torah Stam. You will not find that in Stam Torah, because the Machlokas, you have expanded Torah, and with Machlokas, you've inserted yourself in Torah, with the Machlokas, clients will get to pass in the Halacha. There's so much more Koach in the connection to Torah that comes to Machlokas than there is to Haskamah. but you don't see Elu Ve'ilu there. That's me. In order for me to fully flesh out what my position is, I need somebody challenges me. Here we're saying more than that. So we challenge each other, and we get two opinions, and they're both sell. They're both sell. Okay. So now he brings a very beautiful idea over here. He says, the Pasuk says, it's Pasuk of Midbar Al-Kain, Yomer B'Sefer Mechamas Hashem Es V'Hei B'Sufa, paragraph 8, top of the page. Now, this is a very cryptic Pasuk. What Sefer Mechamas Hashem refers to, the Torah makes reference to Sefer Mechamas Hashem. And Es V'Hei B'Sufa can refer to Kriyas Yam, so we're not worried about the Pshat explanation over here. We're looking to take a look at Chazal tell us a more drush, I think, explanation. But Pesha Chacham tell us, explain, that Maseim Mechamas Hashem, the Mechamas Hashem refers to what we call already Mechamas HaTorah, the battle that goes on in the Beis Medrash, right? And the battle can get very heated. It can be father and son, Rav and Tamid, or Rebbe and Talmud. It's certainly two chavrusas. They're learning not to sona zelazim. They become antagonists. They become enemies. Beinim zazim isham, but es vehev besufa. Besufa means basof in the end. And es vehev, if you mix around the letters a little bit, you can detect the word ahava there. That einim zazim isham achinasim oav zelazim. That they will not move, they will not budge from there until the end they become Ohavim. they become friends again. Now he's going to explain this in a very unique way in a moment. But we should know that there's something called the Mechamta Shel Torah. And I mentioned this somewhere else recently. My father-in-law, Tzal, told us, he learned in the Mir Yeshiva in Europe, that when he got off the train as a young bracha to go to the Mir, he got on the train and he asked, how do I get to the Yeshiva? Right? They said, go this way, that way. And when you hear the yelling, just follow the yelling and you know you're getting to the Yeshiva. Right? My father told me that there was a story I don't remember who this was with, but where this happened. But the story goes that there was a Beis Medrash where they learned, met together once a week to learn. And there was a wagon driver who picked up the participants from the very surrounding towns to come to the Beis Medrash to learn. Once a week they would come to learn, right? And he picked them up, and he would wait outside the Beis Medrash. And after whatever, an hour and a half of learning, he would take them back home. And so now, for a period of time, until he finally couldn't contain himself anymore, he says, I don't get it. He asked them on the way home, I don't get it. Every week, I pick you guys up. And he seemed to get along with each other just... Come out, and you're friends again. What is this? Like an Ivy League library is not a Beis Medrash, right? It has to sound like, you know, you go to the Beis Medrash in Lakewood, 1,000 guys are all yelling at each other. So this is what Chazal tell us, based on Pasuk Esvehe B'Sufa, that in the Mechavta Shetor B'Sof, they'll be friends. They'll be Oavim. They'll be Ahav. However, Rav Hurtner says something very beautiful here. He says, B'Hashkafa HaRishona, at first glance, Hadvar Malolud Bo'im Lashriyanu, what Chazal is coming to teach us is Harvusa, this Chiddush, the Godel Kochus of Kibur Ava, and the great Koach of the love connection. Hatama B'Divrei Torah that's hidden in Torah. The Hainan is to say, so Kochus of Kibur Ava is there, that the Koach of the bond of love that in Torah, Godel is so great, I can have Tachas Areyas and Amona, that it can guarantee friendship. Even to those who were first enemies. In other words, it sounds like there's a certain segula, a certain koach to Torah that is going to create a hava despite the fact that there were enemies in the machlokas, right? And you know, and again, it can get very only verbal, hopefully, but verbally it can get very very expressive. You know, they say about Arvan Cutler. I think they say it about one of his prize talmidim was Ravisha Eisman, not the one from Baltimore. There's another, his cousin, Ravisha Eisman, was one of the few who really stood of Aaron Shear. And I think it's Ravisha Eisman that they say that Ravisha Eisman once spoke up during of Aaron Shear, and if Aaron got so upset with the question that he asked, he said, "Vair from Arayis, throw him out." So they threw him out. They took him out. So he said, "Bring it back in so we can throw him out again." Right? So it got very heated, right? You know, we born yesterday. It was a matter that I can say such a thing, right? So Torah will paper over all of those differences, it sounds like, and create love in the end. But he says that's not, but he says that's not the pshat. Let's see, Havana Zoo. I'm sorry, we're still saying the way we simply understood it. The way we're understanding it, Pashit, is Levi'avanazu, Harvusi, the Chiddush is Bekan, Kilamros HaSinah, Shasat HaMachlokas, despite the sinner that he had when they were fighting with each other, Halar Besov Boi Ahava Machriosa, the Ahava will come and make up for it. Right? Fe'nezazim Yisham Mashinat over, they won't budge until they become a wazir. Well, yeah, you know, look.
I have better odds of winning the Powerball than I do to have a Magid Shear quote a safer from Shapiro or Cook or whatever. If I go to Shear in Sotmer, I'm not going to hear...
You know what? The fact that there are different factions in Klai Yisrael is what makes Klai Yisrael strong. That's not an issue here at all. What we're talking about is the Muhammad that takes place in the Beis Medrash between Talmid and Chachamim. And what you find is that that more often than not, Talmid Chachamim, especially when you go to the top of the mountain instead of dealing with the low guys at the bottom, they argue about Torah, but they get along just fine. And even in the arenas that you're talking about, Rav Cook and Rav Yosef Chaim Zinnefeld got along just fine, just fine.
Of course.
I don't think it was Rav Schwab. I think it was Rav Breuer, actually, which is even a bigger Kiddush. Al Makavish in his Bahar Alonu, but he says that's not the Pshat. The Pshat that he's saying is not the Pshat. Al Makavish in his Bahar Alonu, Hanakuda. But now that we have clarified this point, that the battle of Torah really creates new parameters. No sefes amadreges divrei Torah stam, above and beyond what stam Torah says. No, what stam Torah would give us. The naya machlokis, you have more Torah than you had before. However, here is zu, this clarification, Salavdin Ladas will teach us, Shein Inyan Bakan, that it does not mean to say, this Gemara about Eshehe Besufa, Shehavel Besof, that the love at the end, Bahilam Rosa Machlokis Hakademis, comes despite the Machlokis. El Shekachi Derech Gidula Shalahav Ezo, that's the way love grows. Shino Ledis and Galetis Dafka Karka Machlokis Hakademis. The love grows Dafka because there was Machlokis. Why? They said, "Kol ahav magia l'mrom pesgasei." Tells us a klal. Every love in every relationship reaches its peak. When the two parties, yesam shutvasei tira, share in the creative process. Think of a couple that love each other very much. They bring a child into the world. They love each other that much more. When you share in expanding and bring something new into the world, that creates tremendous love. Shnei atzadim hamisnakin b'halacha. Two opinions that butt heads in halacha, harei him shutzim liitzur shel erech Torah chadash. They are partners in creating new parameters of Torah, as a shemoi mechanta shetorah, which is named and labeled mechanta shetorah. And therefore, they're not friends at the end, despite the fact they have machlokas. But because they have machlokas, anybody who ever experienced learning in yeshiva or learning in the Beis Medrash or having chavrusa for an extended period of time, a chavrusa, not that chavrusa you agreed with, but the chavrusa you argued with, and you argue with over and over and over again, that's the foundation of the greatest friendship. It's the greatest friendship and the greatest love is the chavrusa that you learned with and the chavrusa that you argued with. And this way, what your point is to be made. Oh, chavrusa misusa doesn't mean a chavrusa who agrees, a yes man, right? The chavrusa is your antagonist, right? So now we go back to the beginning. B'tzias shemachlokes b'divrei Torah. The existence of machlokes in Torah, ha'olechas m'shechas ad yemeinu, that continues to this day. Elanolda, the Amna Mechoshich Yavan, was indeed born in the Choshech of Yavan. But Komak, nevertheless, Ebitziyazu Shir Begulas Yavan. It's not an imperfection or incompleteness in the Gula of Yavan. Adarama, on the contrary, Purkan Achanak like the Beza Shechashonoim, the redemption, the Chanak and Purkan of the base of the Chashanayim, he nitzachon achoshech Yavan. Now look at this very beautiful line that comes here. It's a victory over the darkness of Yavan. By producing light out of the darkness itself. Usually, if you want to chase away darkness, you have to bring the light to somewhere else. Sheikha, the sikha of Yavan, produced a new light of Torah. It produced a light of Torah, an order of Torah that wasn't there before. Yag the Torah v'yagya, the increasing, the growth of Torah, and the glorification of Torah. Aidei shechas the Torah through forgetting Torah. Bitula zel kuma, as you said before, the disruption of Torah became the way Torah was sustained. Ba'od shem apalasan shel bavel v'shel madai, ha'isam the merfuul ishibuda shekneset Yisrael. While the first two Goliaths, Bavel and Madai, came as a result, or the Geula came as a result of a refuah, a healing to the Shibud of Klai Yisrael, the downfall of Yavin, Hayabagami Shumritia, it came through a ritia like a salve, a medication, Asher Tochna Bitoch Hamaka Atma, which was produced by the wound itself. The wound produced its own medicine. So we have to understand what this must have meant to Yavin. Yeah, it's like for them, it's like a student said it's like a hydroid. Right? But I don't know what that is exactly. But, you know, a monster, the more they try to, it's like Tridea. Like the Tridea, it was one frog, and the more they beat it, the more frogs came. The more they tried to stamp out Torah, and the more successful they were in stamping out Torah, the more growth the Torah produced. The more Torah growth it produced, because the more Torah came out of it. Kishav the Malchus Yavin Harasha, Harsha, Alam Chi Yisrael, Hashkichim Torah Secha. As you say now, Hanisim. When Malchus Yavin Hashem, when that evil, that wicked power of Yavin arose, Lashkichim Torah Secha, to make clients to forget your Torah, in the Betoch HaSichon Atzma, but within the forgetting itself, Paschu Pia Mayonos Torah Chadashim, the clients' was mouths opened up with new wellsprings of Torah. I never pulled the Torah Mishchatzim of Karim to the daily new arguments that take place in the Beis Medrash. In our never-ending quest to recapture the Torah that's forgotten. What's unique about Hanukkah? It's the last thing the Klai Yisrael got in the calendar. And again, we have to, as I mentioned, on Shabbos, that we have to know where Hanukkah fits into history. Hanukkah fits into history. It's middle of the second base of Mikdash, but the next 200 years are a deep slide into very dark times up until and including the destruction of the base of Mikdash and the exile of the Jewish people. So Hashem is giving us something here. Hashem is giving us something. He's saying, Mekim and Shigah, he's giving us something to show us. That even in the darkness of forgetting Torah, you can find sparks of the growth of Torah. So knowing that, that is possible. Bekochus is the gula, so knowing this the gula, that now Klai Yisrael is ready to walk on that path. It's, you know, the language is beautiful. The path of forgetting. To walk on that road of forgetting, Mesilas Hashicha, the road of forgetting, Harucha, it's a long road of constantly forgetting, it's constantly working to recapture. Shegolas Edom, the Golas Edom, which we find ourselves in now, Hamavilat Achas Yom, that brings us ultimately to Mashiach, the Ruach Elokim, Mer Chefes Apanei Amayim. Us, Egmor, then, when we get through that, and we get through Edom, learning the Torah that we learn, the Bashir is Mer Chanukas Hazbeach, they will complete the Chanukas Hazbeach, Shashir Mishmah. You can't look at Gemara. You can't look at Machlokas and say we have to learn a piece like this. You can't. It's unbelievably inspiring for us to understand what we're doing when we learn. And we learn we're uncovering and expanding and deepening and it's a Torah that we can only have if you think about the Gemara that we learn is Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli is a Golus Gemara. It's a Golus Gemara, right? And Dafkin Bavel, the Torah only came into its own. So Torah, as we know it, only came into Golus. Because Baruch is saying, you know what? I'm giving you a secret weapon. You can go into the darkest places. You can go into the worst experiences in history. But I'm giving you a secret weapon, and so secret you won't even understand the weapon and what it can do for you until you have to use it. Until you have to use it. And as you use it, and you expand your eyes to the Torah, and as you use it, you pass it on the lachos. And as you use it, you realize it goes Baruch Hashem, not the Lord of Torah. He gave us his Torah. He says, "You pass it on the Torah. You, the Chacham Yisrael, will determine what the halacha is." Right? And that's the unbelievable connection that as Ivana tried to demonstrate to us, or force us to demonstrate to ourselves, Eilachem Chelik Olkei Yisrael. That was the sign that made us right everywhere. Eilachem Chelik, you have no Chelik, no special relations that goes Baruch Hu. As they tried to make that a reality, that in fact the exact opposite happened. We see how Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah and the connection that we have to Torah, which really is demonstrated more than anywhere else in the discussions and in the arguments and the machlokas of Torah Shabbat. Less authoritative.
Less authoritative.
Talmud Shami is less authoritative. You know, it's less developed. Yeah. It was also edited to the degree that Bavli incorporates this Yerushalmi as well.
Wasn't there a period? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting during the different character, because it seems like during Bias Rishon, wasn't there like a period of time when there was like
the 50
something like that,
who
yeah,
you
said
the
Micha thing,
those you don't know, it's even Micha.
Obliterated the Torah, and
the time, and they had to, until they found the Sefer Torah. Yeah, I don't know how to.
Because
that
was sort of a lot of getting going on there.
Yeah. Okay. It's a point well taken. You know, it can't be as simple as that. Amongst the elite, there still must have been Limud Torah and the Masorah Torah.
Character. Yeah. Right. Okay, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that pure
Of the wise prelude of Torah. Yeah.
So here, what we're saying is that wasn't the case during Yoma, even amongst the elite.
The Masorah got static. Even amongst the elite. Yosef Minyas and Yosef Minyochan was certainly in the elite. That's the never. Okay, all right. So, Be'ez Hashem, next week, I didn't have a chance to look at Sugya to see what we're going to be doing next week, but what I can tell you is that it won't be a Hanukkah Sugya. and you know, but it's... Not with the leap year. Okay, you don't have to be paid on next month. There will be something Yantiv neutral, but Baruch Hashem, I think we have a wonderful thing going over here, and I hope that it will continue, and that we'll be spending a lot of time fighting with each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm.